asserting that the architect's negligence and carelessness damaged the plaintiff, and that a licensed professional should have been known that removing walls would violate the zoning ordinances. And then the trial court granted defendant's motion to dismiss on timeliness grounds. And plaintiff argued the discovery rule ended the statute with the statute of limitations. The court disagreed, and the appellant's administrative and chancery challenges to the stop work order statute of limitations. And the court found that the record supported the trial court's determination that plaintiff had sufficient information when the borough when the borough issued the stop work order to believe he suffered damages attributable to the defendant's design plans. So he had this information and didn't use it. So you snooze on your legal rights, and sometimes you lose them. Most of the time you lose them. In the legal community, there have been a number of recent deaths of excellent jurists. U.S. District Senior Judge William Walls of the District of New Jersey, who presided over numerous trials, and he died at age 87. An excellent judge from Patterson, Passaic County, Judge Seltzer. He also unexpectedly passed away. I frankly am in shock. He did retire from the bench, and he was working part-time in a firm in North Jersey. Judge Seltzer is someone who I appeared before a number of times, and he was always a gentleman, concerned about litigants, concerned about lawyers, helped lawyers settle cases, maintained, and we all maintained, a real decorum in his courtroom. Didn't always agree with his decisions, obviously, but they were thought out, thoughtful, considerate, and he was just a judge's judge and lawyer's judge, and never let his position, it never seemed to go to his head, never had this big ego, served on many committees, voluntary committees, served on the, and was, I'm not sure he was a master in the Family Inn of Court, but he was certainly one of the people who contributed, and, there are a number of judges who've retired that frankly aren't going to be replaced. We most recently also went to the funeral of Judge Glickman, again, a longtime judge serving in Essex County, served to my knowledge, always served on the family bench, and was, just excellent. And I think I mentioned him recently. I guess those of us who have been practicing a long time, have known all of these judges and have appeared before them for many, many years, and we're not happy when they retire, and of course we all hope that they will have many, many years of retirement, although I have to say so many of them go back and do mediation. One of my favorites as far as Discovery Master did an excellent job as Judge Dilts. He's not passed away, thank goodness, but he decided to retire, even from his job, well, his practice after he left the bench. So in any event, we're end the show. Sorry, we've kind of gone over. We will come back with the sports guys after the news.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
The Iranian state media is reporting that Iran seized two British oil tankers in the Strait of Hormuz. President Trump reacts to the news.
And Iran is going to work out very nicely. Iran is showing their colors. Going to work out very nicely. Iran is in big trouble right now. Their economy is crashing. They're trying to bring soldiers back home because they can't pay them. A lot of bad things are happening to them, and it's very easy to straighten out, or it's very easy for us to make it a lot worse.
Customs and Border Protection Deputy Commissioner Robert Perez is telling Fox News that they are moving forward with new barriers on the U.S. southern border.
We now have built, over the last 2.5 years, just over 51 miles of new enduring capability along our southwest border, primarily in Southern California and in the area of El Paso. And we are continuing to build.
And you're listening to USA Radio News.
It is a horrible scenario, but it happens. Dennis writes about his wife. She was diagnosed with leukemia. In fact, she's a two-time survivor, and in the midst of all that, they ran up over $1 million in medical bills. Thankfully, they're Medishare members. And Dennis says they are so thankful for that, how others came together to meet their needs. And that's how so many Medishare members feel. This is not health insurance. It's different. You don't have to pay for things you don't believe in. And like Dennis found out, it just works. So if you join Medishare, not only do you save a lot of money, the typical family saves about $500 a month, but you know where your money's going each month. You're helping people, and if the time should come, they'll be helping and even praying for you. So yes, it's different, and as more than 400,000 people now know, when it comes to healthcare costs, different is beautiful. Find out more. Call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
President Trump has announced that he will nominate Jean Scalia to take over as Secretary of Labor. USA Radio Network's John Clemens reports.
The 55-year-old Washington attorney is the son of the late Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia, who died suddenly in 2016. Democrats are expected to show their opposition to Scalia during his confirmation hearings because he has been a frequent attorney for major corporations in a number of key cases. If confirmed, Scalia will take over for Alex Acosta, who resigned in the wake of his part in a lenient plea deal for Democratic fundraiser Jeffrey Epstein, who was in jail on new charges of sex trafficking of young girls. Deputy Labor Secretary Patrick Pezzulla will take over the post pending Scalia's confirmation.
At least two-thirds of the United States can expect to face dangerous heat this weekend. Now millions of Americans will be sweating it out as temperatures top 100 degrees across the Midwest and East Coast. Factoring in the humidity, it could feel like over 110 degrees. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
According to the Anxiety and Depression Association of America, over 40 million people in the United States suffer from chronic negative thinking. But what can we do to change that? Well, I had a chance to catch up with John Gordon. He's author of a new book titled The Coffee Bean, A Simple Lesson to Create Positive Change. And one of the things I asked him was what we can do to create that positive environment when we're out with our friends or even at our workplace.
That's a great question, and it starts with you. You have to feed yourself so that way you can feed others. If you don't have it, you can't share it. So you are contagious, and every day you have to understand you could be a germ or a big dose of vitamin C. I know that sounds maybe a little cheesy or corny, but it's true. And so every day when you're with your friends, when you're with your team, bring that positive energy to them, and then try to create the dialogue with the team. Hey, how can we be a more positive team? How can we overcome this adversity that we're facing and be stronger together? And start asking your team some questions. Hey, how connected are we as a team? Can we become more connected? What can we do to be more connected? And you get them to participate. And as you do that, you'll build a stronger team. Thanksgiving, family events, right? You go to your family. Maybe they're more negative. My dad was a New York City cop, undercover narcotics. So he wasn't very positive. He was shot a few times. And so I found with my own family, I had to then try to transform them with positivity instead of letting their negativity affect me.
For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
What do you want to do when you grow up? When we were young, it's a question we were often asked. As we get older, our passions become clearer, our pursuits become careers, and if we're diligent, we begin to plan for the life we want to live. That's why, at Ameriprise Financial, we ask what's most important to you. Starting with our confident retirement approach, your Ameriprise Financial advisor will ask questions that help you arrive at a customized plan that allows you to realize your goals today, tomorrow, and throughout retirement. With the right financial advisor, life can be brilliant. Call Michelle Heide and Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 16 Lee Street, Units 1B and 1C in Clinton, New Jersey. The confident retirement approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, a registered investment advisor.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Well, good afternoon, all you sports fans out there, and hopefully we will have two more people joining me because we're missing two of the sports guys. John and Bill still aren't here. Didn't have a chance to talk to either one of them today, so let's hope they are coming, because I have very little to talk about. I'm Pat Smith, one of your sports guys, but based on my schedule, I really haven't done much in watching sports. I think the two things that, for me, were just absolutely, I want to say absolutely something that I did watch, and maybe because of my two compadres are, one is, of course, a Red Sox fan, and one is, of course, a Yankees fan. So it was really important to watch what went on in London. But let's talk about the weather today, because, frankly, I don't know that anyone should be out there participating in sports outside. It's going to be extremely hot over the weekend, dangerously so. Hopefully they are going to be playing baseball inside. And I know Diamond Nation has a great inside facility. Certainly the kids should not be out there practicing for football. I know my grandson Dylan plays for Hopewell High School, and they've been practicing, but should not be practicing today. Anyone who's working outside has to be very careful, because, in fact, between now and 10 o'clock tomorrow night, we have an excessive heat warning. This afternoon, it's been mostly sunny, although they said the temperature high was 94 degrees. I think it might have been higher than that, and certainly felt warmer than that in the sun, and almost oppressively hot. And tonight there might be a relief, 20%, which is only a slight chance of thunderstorms. Then it'll be partly cloudy, down to about 76 degrees. Tomorrow and Sunday, hot. Saturday, it looks like it could be blazing sun. Sunday, mostly sunny. Then there is a chance of thunderstorms on Sunday. I'm surprised that they don't predict thunderstorms for tomorrow, because usually when it's that hot, it's pretty usual to have a thunderstorm in the afternoon. By Sunday night, there's about a 50% chance of thunderstorms. So what's happening in sports? Well, I'm still, just amazed at what happened in the Wimbledon women. I think that that was really some very exciting tennis. Most of us who are Serena fans really didn't think that Simona Halep would be able to keep up with her. I can't think of the last time I saw a woman who was able to, play actually almost flawless tennis opponent. And generally, of course, and we know that Serena Williams embarked on a comeback after giving birth, and about 10 months since she ignited a firestorm over race and women's rights after a heated dispute with the umpire while losing in the final of the U.S. Open. Williams is 37 years old. I know that most of us would, think, wow, we'd love to be 37. But she is, in fact, not only confronted by age, but also confronted by injuries. And, however, I don't think there should be any question about her place in tennis history. There was, of course, a crowd of young players has risen and threatened to take the sport by storm. Anyone who is at all interested in tennis had to watch Coco Gauff. I mean, it was so much fun to watch her. Hard to believe that she's a young teenager. She certainly is so composed on the court and a pretty incredible player. One of the things that might be, or was somewhat of an issue until she played Simona Halep didn't stop her, was the fact that it looks like it's much more difficult for her to return serves that are about shoulder height. And I think that physicians, sports physicians, would say that as she gets a little bit older, she'll develop more upper body strength, and that will help her to deal with, what I would call serves that bounce high. It's always easier, in my view, to return serves that are not shoulder height, that are a little bit, not quite that high. But in any event, Serena, I mean, it was her loss to Simona Halep was just a stunner. I mean, a stunner. Halep, 27, was apparently the seventh seed, and she did play flawlessly. I mean, there was no question about the fact that she returned Serena's powerful serves with remarkable consistency. And she often actually drew errors by chasing Williams. Serena was clearly the crowd favorite, so that it wasn't that, she had to deal with an unsympathetic crowd. She didn't. Now we know that if you watched the semifinal win, meaning Serena's semifinal win, Serena did not perform anywhere near that level. However, you can't blame poor play on Simona Halep's title. I mean, she deserved it. You know, there wasn't, you know, there were, I can't even remember, of course, I won't see as many errors, unforced errors as someone else might, but she just, unbelievable. And, of course, Serena had to be very disappointed because this is the second year. Actually, it was three championship majors or three championship matches at major tournaments. You know, she made it to three after coming back from maternity leave in March 2018, and she's lost all of them. So that has to be very discouraging from her. She was also on her quest to tie for the most championships, you know, at Wimbledon. And, you know, whether she did that or not, I think that most everyone will consider Serena, you know, the best woman player. I mean, there's just, you know, there's just, I think, no question about it. I've never seen such a powerful woman player. And the fact that, you know, she may still, and hopefully she still, be, you know, the winner and to go on to win and tie the, I'm trying to remember when that was set, and I can't remember exactly when that was set. The 24 that she's trying to tie. I do know that it was Margaret Court who, you know, I don't really even remember her playing, but she had the record of 24 Grand Slam singles titles. And, of course, you know, Serena's only off by one, and apparently, you know, that quest obviously is something that she wants to make and should make. She had tough losses both at the French Open and the U.S. Open last year. And hopefully, you know, she'll be back. You know, last year she faced at the U.S. Open 20-year-old Naomi Osaka in the final. And that was kind of reminded me of today, sweltering heat. And, you know, the match became the most contentious in her career. And who can forget the ruling from the umpire that Williams was getting coaching from the stands and, you know, her bitter words to him, or the point penalty, the game penalty, and her demand that he apologize. You know, as I recall, it was something like, how dare you insinuate I was cheating, you know, and she felt he stole the point from her. And, you know, the determination of Osaka as she pulled to the victory 6-2, 6-4. And, of course, there were boos from the fans when she accepted the trophy. Really a black mark on tennis. So with that, and hopefully the boys will be here soon, I'm going to play some spots and hopefully play the commercials, and they'll be here. I don't know what's happened. Maybe one of them or both of them indicated they weren't coming today. I didn't get that message. So let me go back, play some spots, and you know, we'll be back, and hopefully with them.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hello, this is Nicole Smith, host of Happy to Help. Would you like to discover the secret to happiness? I talk to volunteers, executive directors, fundraisers, and authors about how nonprofit engagement enriches their lives. We thrive when we have a sense of purpose in our lives. Philanthropy is the new community. Tune in to Happy to Help every Wednesday at 10 a.m. to discover how to find your purpose and live well by doing good.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design.
This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you...
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
What do you want to do when you grow up? When we were young, it's a question we were often asked. As we get older, our passions become clearer, our pursuits become careers, and if we're diligent, we begin to plan for the life we want to live. That's why, at Ameriprise Financial, we ask what's most important to you. Starting with our confident retirement approach, your Ameriprise Financial advisor will ask questions that help you arrive at a customized plan that allows you to realize your goals today, tomorrow, and throughout retirement. With the right financial advisor, life can be brilliant. Call Michelle Heidi and Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 16 Lee Street, Units 1B and 1C in Clinton, New Jersey. The confident retirement approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, a registered investment advisor.
Okay, back again. I know I was talking about the women's championship, and I have to say it was one of the more exciting games. If you watch tennis, it really was one of the more exciting games. It's often more fun to watch women than men. Recently I had the discussion with other sports fans with respect to watching games, and in fact my grandson mentioned that he really likes to watch football on television. I much prefer watching football in the stands, and of course then what I like to do is tape the game and go back, or I guess we DVR it these days, and go back and then watch it after the fact to see everything I missed. But with tennis, and maybe it's because I've never had wonderful seats at a tennis match, I find that if you have just kind of regular seats or not great seats. Arthur Ashe Stadium, if it's very hard to see. It really is. It's not like football games, and of course in the football games you also have the big television screens, but I find that it's much more fun for me to watch tennis on television, and especially they'll do the various camera angles. You know, I'd love to see when they're watching from behind the defender, and you see that ball come across, the serve coming across. It's pretty amazing. And of course, the velocity of the serves these days are just unbelievable. One of the things about Serena is she's always had such a wonderful, powerful serve, almost impossible to return. And of course, this time, you know, she ended up with a number of unforced errors. And, you know, really, it was just the number of unforced errors was pretty remarkable. And with Simona Halep, I believe she had three or four unforced errors, which, again, is pretty amazing. So, of course, you know, there's also the political thing of, you know, Serena has been really praised for standing up for the rights of women and mothers, and especially black women and mothers, and some detractors really, you know, claim that she's a selfish egotist, you know, lost in her own view of her celebrity, et cetera, et cetera. But I think that we have to agree that, you know, Serena's really been the best player, best woman player ever. And, of course, I think everybody in the United States, or most of us, certainly majority, who watched many of Coco's matches are hoping that she will be the next American woman that we can get behind. Amazing when you think about it is Coco was against Vanessa Williams, and that matchup, I think everybody expected Vanessa to win. But the point, one good point, is to see that there are more black players, and to see Vanessa and Coco playing, I thought was pretty special. I remember when really the only major black player was Arthur Ashe, and you know, I think he led the way into the sport, just like, you know, other people. You know, were those people who paved the way into, for example, football and baseball, and of course, you know, tennis was almost the last bastion of the white upper middle class. So we won't go there for now, but I did want to talk a little bit about the men's final. What was to me amazing is Federer, who I really like, got his 100th Wimbledon match win in this tournament. Did not, unfortunately, win the Grand Slam. But, I mean, that was pretty amazing, 100 Wimbledon match wins. Again, he's going to, age is more than creeping up on him. He'll turn 38 next month, and is actually maybe the oldest player in at least what we call this era of tennis, you know, to be playing, and he would have been, to my knowledge, the oldest player in this era to win a Grand Slam men's single title. Ken Roswell, who was really a phenomenal player, he was almost 38 when he won the Australian Open, which would be, you know, considered another Grand Slam. That was back in 1972. Djokovic, of course, he 32 years old versus 38. He did win. He was the number one seed. He was the defending champion. And, you know, I think, though, the Federer was still the crowd favorite. And I don't know why. I don't think that Djokovic is just has as large a fan base. But the, the Wimbledon is just the grand dame, and everybody, now I think pretty much, some people, some avid tennis players do watch, of course, the U.S. Open and the Australian Open, but so many real tennis fans kind of are interested, but they totally spend whatever time they can watching Wimbledon and the U.S. Open. So, congratulations. I think that now everybody will be set to see what happens at the U.S. Open and maybe what else is happening in sports. Well, I guess I was expecting my compadres to tell you about it. What I can say is it's going to be interesting for football for me this year, because what happens is the Packers are going to be playing a lot of the teams out here, play Baltimore in a preseason. Obviously, that's not of interest, but they are playing Thursday, September 26th in Philadelphia. I'm sure that is the day. Yep, 26th of September. It's in Philadelphia. That's a night game, a Thursday night game. And, so weather should be good. I'm not sure how difficult it will be to get tickets. For all the fair weather football fans, that's going to be a time where they really like to see, football. And it's always fun to do night games. That is true. Of course, what's happening to the Packers is they're going to be and have a really tough schedule up until that game with Philadelphia. And that's because they're going to Chicago on the 5th of September. That's another Thursday night game. Then they play in Minnesota. They play that Minnesota game. That one is played at Lambeau. That's at noon on the September 15th. Then they play Denver, again in Lambeau, and the 26th. And then, on the 22nd, they play the Denver game. Then they play Philadelphia on the 26th and have to go from that game on Sunday the 26th to play a night game in Dallas on October 6th. So they're going to Dallas. That's an afternoon game. So their schedule is pretty tough. Chicago, Minnesota, Denver, Philadelphia, Dallas. Then they go to Detroit. Hopefully, hopefully the Packers will be a much better team, but never know. I think actually the first two games, we'll see what the Packer team is like once they go up against Chicago with Gail Mack, and then, of course, they play their arch rivals, Minnesota. I'm glad that they played the first game in Green Bay. They will also play Minnesota again, and that's December 23rd, and that one will be in Minneapolis. So the good thing is that's a stadium, an indoor stadium. And, of course, for those of you who are Giant fans, the Packers will be playing the Giants in New Jersey. Unfortunately, it's December 1st. And that's, you know, could be cold. But by that time, we'll know who's the better team. Frankly, I'm hoping to get tickets, although, you know, not sure I want to sit out in the cold, but I will do that if I have to. Last one of the more recent times I went to Giant Stadium, we ended up in a box. Unfortunately, my friend who had the box and the tickets, who gave us tickets, has retired and now no longer lives in New Jersey and no longer is a source of tickets. Certainly wouldn't mind finding somebody who had tickets in a box so that, you know, we could enjoy the game but not freeze. So, we what else is football? Well, I guess the question about the Giants, of course, is always how is Manning going to be able to... is he going to show up? Is he not? What's happening with some of the new draft picks for all of the teams? I think that, you know, since the heat wave is around, I think that luckily, hopefully, they will all be able to practice indoors because that should help. But, you know, there were some teams that... wanted to look at in the free agency. Frankly, I have not followed up on what happened, so I can't bring you that information. I know that there were, this is, I'm talking about the National Hockey League, and, you know, coveted players such as you know, can't even pronounce some of their names anymore. But there were many unrestricted free agents who will likely, and who did, in fact, find new teams. And to see how they meld, and the same thing happening, I think, in, you know, basketball. In fact, there were some real surprising, well, not surprising necessarily, but... changes that, you know, I didn't and wouldn't have predicted that Kevin Durant left the Golden State Warriors after three seasons and will be playing with the Brooklyn Nets. You know, that was announced in a free agency, which beginning of July, and started the NBA free agency period. And so there, apparently the boardroom and online series looking at sports business produced by Durant and business partner, Rich Kleiman, announced that. So, of course, they had the right to, you know, get out in front of everyone. You know, Durant won titles with the Golden State Warriors in 2017 and 2018. Now, he was injured for most of the postseason this year. And, of course, we know, surprisingly, the Golden State lost in the NBA Finals in six games. And, of course, the Toronto Raptors, never think of Canadians playing basketball, but in fact, they won in six games. Now, supposedly, a ruptured right Achilles tendon could keep Durant out of basketball for the entire season. But whenever he returns, he's going to be with Brooklyn unless they do some kind of a trade again. Apparently, I mean, this is amazing to me. They first reported that he'd agreed to a four-year deal worth $164 million. He could have gotten 5 years and about $220 million to remain with the Warriors. So kind of a question there, obviously. Does he have, in 4 years, will he be as good as he is now? Will he be able to maintain that type of bargaining position? We don't know. We do know, of course, that he's a 10-time All-Star, just completing his 12th NBA season. And he also was the leading of all postseason scorers. And so he actually averaged, and as we know, football players love these average. Baseball players love these averages. I'm not so sure football is quite as, well, probably is, I was going to say quite as enthusiastic about the statistics. But, he strained his right calf on that May 8th game. That was in the Western Conference semifinals. He also had 7 30-point performances during the recent playoffs. Now, Brooklyn, had either a woeful season or certainly a woefully, they didn't have a good season. 42-40, lost in the first round of the playoffs. And then, of course, a huge victory on Sunday when it beat out the Warriors. And this is a couple of Sundays ago when they beat out the Warriors, the New Jersey Knicks, and the Los Angeles Clippers for Durant. So apparently, and I didn't know this, Durant played his first year with the Seattle Supersonics. And they went to Oklahoma City. And he played 8 seasons before joining the Warriors in 2016. So apparently there were a lot of criticism about his move and complaining that it was taking the easy route out by joining a team that had just won an NBA title. He had just had... the criticism is that he had just, not had, but taken the easiest route by joining a team that had just won an NBA record. But if it works out for Durant and other Warriors, the NBA he was in both championships. Of course, it's always been talked about his future. So apparently, with all this young talent, he's going to be there, and let's see how he helps improve that team. We certainly know that he has been an important factor in the game up until this time. So let's see what else is happening. I frankly am pretty much out of what's happening. I think that one of the things that I, again, this is the time of year to start with the kids, young kids, girls and boys, to teach them football. I think that any sport, of course, is much more interesting if you know the players, if you know what to look for, etc. And, you know, there's some basic things that people need to know. Interestingly, my husband and I happened to be in his cardiologist's office today for an appointment, and I brought a book along because I wasn't sure how long we'd have to wait, and I happened to mention to him that I'm reading Terry Bradshaw's autobiography, and there was a woman sitting near us in the waiting room. Frankly, I wish I had gotten her name. I think that if anyone had looked at her, she did not look like the stereotype football fan. But when she heard me say something to Dave about Terry Bradshaw, she started talking to us. And frankly, she had some very interesting stories, both about what she knew about Bradshaw. But frankly, she was a Giants fan. And she told me a story, and we were talking a little bit about some of the superstitions and how superstitious some athletes are. And I guess I don't know much about Eli Manning, but she said that he was considered one of the players who really was not superstitious. But we were talking about the game. Of course, we were also talking about the game at Lambeau, the championship game, and Dave and I were at that 13 below zero, and it was very interesting. She right away said, oh, yeah, that was the one that was 23 below zero wind chill factor, and she was very interesting. So she told me one story about Eli Manning, which I think is worth repeating. And I do think I might have just a couple minutes then to tell you this story, and then we'll go back. Neither one of the guys have come in, so you've had to put up with me, and frankly, I'm sorry I didn't have much today. But as far as the story, apparently Eli Manning was playing, and and I can't remember what game she said, and it was at Lambeau. And I guess it had to be that that playoff game. That was the game that they were, they were sixth seed. They had to play all of their games away. I know the game. They had one more game after. Well, I'm not sure now if that was the championship game. I always thought it was so. Yes, it was a championship game. So in any event, at the time, Eli took his girlfriend. I think it's the same person who's now he married. But anyway, apparently he had always lost at Lambeau. So even though he said he's not superstitious, he did not want his girlfriend to watch the game from a box seat with all of the other Giant fans, because he was sure that he would lose if that was the case. So they played the game, and afterwards he was looking to the stands because he knew exactly where his girlfriend was supposed to be sitting, and she wasn't there. Well, she's no dummy. 13 below zero and 23 below wind chill. She, in fact, had watched the whole game from the box, but felt like, hey, he won't lose the game. He's thinking I'm in the stands. He doesn't think I'm in the box with other giant luminaries, so I can do this and it won't have any effect on his play. And of course, sure enough, she watched the game from the box, and it didn't have any impact because they won the game. So I thought it was kind of an interesting story. And it also reminded me, and this happens often with me, people will be very surprised that I'm a football fan, diehard football fan. But it shows that you never know who you're going to start talking to, or if you strike up a conversation about this or anything, that you might have somebody who shares your view, or you can get into a good argument. So I thought that was interesting, and I thought it was also interesting how we all stereotype what a football fan looks like, and because we come in all sizes, shapes, colors, and ability to, you know, travel to see our team. And of course, one of my goals is to see a game in every stadium, or at least be there. But I'd really like to see a game in every stadium. I know I'm not going to be able to see my Packers play in every stadium, not in my lifetime. But find something that you enjoy, football, watching tennis, baseball, and not that we shouldn't play in the games. We really should. But it's also good to, you know, listen, watch, and you know, plan out next year's strategy. So with that, I think that the end of the show is coming up. I will play the news, and then it will be cut off. Good night.
USA Radio News.
Hopefully
with Tim Berg.
President Trump says the U.S. is checking with Britain about reports that a second British oil tanker has been seized in Iran in the Persian Gulf.
So we don't have very many tankers going in, but we have a lot of ships there that are warships, and we'll talk to the U.K., and we have no written agreement, but we have an agreement. They've been a very great ally of ours.
The president talking with reporters at the White House, the president also noted that Iran has been nothing but trouble. A 43-year-old Brooklyn man is accused of becoming an ISIS sniper and weapons instructor. The man was born in Kazakhstan and is a naturalized citizen. He's charged with providing material support to a terrorist organization and was arrested and transferred to the U.S. from the custody of the Syrian Defense Forces. And your final numbers on Wall Street at the closing bell, the Dow lost 69 points to close at 27,154. This is USA Radio News.
This report is brought to you by Crescent Tools. Most toolboxes contain a crescent wrench, which tradesmen and DIYers have trusted for more than a century. But what many call a crescent wrench isn't always the real deal. The reason? True crescent wrenches are made by Crescent Tools, which started producing the adjustable wrench in 1907. However, few realize that Crescent is the brand, not the tool. Nor do they understand that Crescent makes more than just wrenches. Brendan Walsh, Director of Product Management at Crescent Tools.
What a person thinks is a crescent wrench may just be an adjustable wrench, and there's a difference. We've innovated the crescent wrench to meet the needs of today's tool user and have expanded to offer a solid crew of tools in addition to wrenches.
While wrenches are their signature products, Crescent manufactures 2,800 tools, including files, snips, storage cabinets, and measuring tapes, establishing Crescent Tools as one of the most respected professional hand tool brands in the world. So, the next time you reach into your toolbox, check to see if it's actually a crescent wrench or an imposter. For more information, visit www.crescenttool.com.
In political news, lineups are out for the second round of the Democratic presidential debates at the end of the month. Trump 2020 campaign advisor Laura Trump tells Fox and Friends a lot of people will be watching one matchup in particular.
I think Joe Biden is going to be looking out for Kamala Harris because that was a very contentious back and forth between the two of them. She really kind of shut him down there.
The two candidates did get into a pretty good back and forth over Biden's lack of support for school desegregation by busing back in the late 1960s. Excessive heat warnings are in effect for parts of Nebraska all the way to the Ohio Valley. Temperatures will be in the mid-90s, but with humidity, it will feel like over 105 degrees. Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot discusses what her city's doing.
Today, Chicago is activating its extreme weather plan. We have a coordinated, collaborative, and comprehensive response to the coming heat wave, ensuring resources are readily accessible for every Chicagoan.
That heat is expected to last into the weekend. This is USA Radio News.
Here's a great deal on MyPillow. When you go to MyPillow.com, click on the two-pack special, type in promo code USA, you'll get two MyPillow premium pillows for $69.98. Now, that's only $34.99 a pillow. You will not get that price anywhere at retail. It's the lowest price ever offered on radio or TV. And like all MyPillow products, 10-year warranty, 60-day money-back guarantee. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the two-pack special, use my promo code USA.
Home Depot co-founder Ken Langone says the difference between him and Democratic presidential candidate Senator Bernie Sanders from Vermont is that he is talking about doing something. Meanwhile, Langone and his business colleagues actually do something, as he tells Maria Bartiromo on Fox Business.
Let me tell you something.
Yeah.
About